Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dorothy Robine, Commissioner of the Public Building Service at the U.S. General Services Administration. Also joining us from IBM is Ken Beecher. So, Dorothy, I understand that PBS is looking at ways to exchange real estate. For instance, the FBI building, you were looking to exchange that for another more suitable, modernized building that would work better for the mission of today's FBI. Can you tell us a little bit about this process?
Sure. And it's also a way of leveraging private capital. And the FBI building is a great example. The J. Edgar Hoover building occupies two city blocks on downtown Washington. Very, very valuable property. It was built in 1974. It was built to be a giant filing cabinet. It was to house fingerprint records. Thick cement block walls, wide corridors for pushing big files down. It was built for secrecy. It's a very inefficient building. It has a large courtyard and a veranda for viewing parades. I don't believe that was ever used. The building is aging, so it's becoming functionally obsolete. It doesn't meet the FBI's security needs, despite the fact that it has a moat around it. And it houses only about half of all the FBI headquarters staff. The FBI has grown considerably since 9/11. So it no longer meets their needs, including their needs, I should say, for collaborative workspace. The FBI recognized after 9/11 that they were not communicating well internally, much less with other agencies. And so they have sought this kind of collaborative workspace in their field offices, and they would like that in their headquarters as well. So we have this very, what we think is a very valuable property, valuable to somebody else. We are proposing to the idea of exchanging J. Edgar Hoover for an existing building or a newly constructed building somewhere in the National Capital Region, something that would be up to 2 million square feet of space and house roughly 11,000 people that are about half of whom are in leases around the National Capital Region. It could be in Maryland, Virginia, the district, lots of interest on the part of all three jurisdictions. We put the idea out there in a request for information. We got 35 proposals. We're working our way through those, and then probably the next step will be a request for qualifications. We're proposing something similar along for buildings and property along Independence Avenue. This is 8 buildings and 22 acres that form a little triangle, Federal Triangle South, we call it. The Forrestal Complex, the Department of Energy complex of buildings, the two FAA buildings just east of there on Independence Avenue, Orville and Wilbur Wright, our own national regional headquarters at 7th and D Southwest, and then a former USDA building, the Cotton Annex, that is behind Forrestal. Those buildings are all space and energy inefficient. They're aging buildings. We think that, again, that the property could have more value to someone else. The only workers that need to stay in that location are the Department of Energy workers. The FAA can go a number of other places. We would like our own regional headquarters folks to come into the GSA headquarters building at 18th and F. So there's some opportunities there to take our aging buildings and redevelop the property and do so in a way that supports the vision of the District of Columbia and the National Capital Planning Commission for a mixed-use eco-district. Mixed-use meaning residential and commercial as well as government space in that area. We think it can do a lot to further a major transformation of that part of the city that is envisioned as part of this district, eco-district plan.
Very interesting. I wanted to understand, switching gears a little bit, about we've talked about right-sizing the portfolio, improving portfolio performance. How are you using and how is PBS using analytic tools and analytics to do just that?
Of course, we're continually analyzing individual properties to determine how much investment they need and whether this is a property that we should hang on to or something that we should get rid of. We're also using data to try to identify opportunities for consolidation. So we're taking a very data-based approach to looking at where are there leases that look like they could be consolidated, or where are there leases that are expiring such that we could move people out of them into owned space. All of this is a very data-based exercise. What we are finding is that we need to supplement the data with what the intelligence agencies would call human intelligence. So our experts on the ground, other experts on the ground in a particular community that will say, no, actually that, you know, the Coast Guard needs to be there because that building is on the water and the one that you're thinking of isn't on the water. The FBI needs to be there because that's where their interviews take place. So we combine this very data-based approach with local intelligence in our regional offices and come up with a plan to move forward.
You know, Dorothy, we were talking a lot about enhancing the performance of aging buildings. And to some extent, I know GSA has been very proactive in sustainability, in that not just refurbishing buildings, but making it more energy efficient, which also saves money. Would you elaborate on PBS's efforts to incorporate sustainability and energy efficiency into the construction, maintenance, and operations of its assets? And really specifically, one of the exciting things, I know we talked a little bit about smart buildings, is talk about the Green Proving Ground, where you're looking at working with other industries and sectors.
I feel very, very passionately about the importance of the federal government's role as a testbed for next generation building energy technologies. There's a tendency when you talk about technological innovation and the federal government's role to focus on the supply side, the federal government as a funder of R&D. And that's obviously a hugely important role. But the federal government has also traditionally played a very important role on the demand side as an early adopter of new technologies. Semiconductors is a recent example. There are GPS, radar, and there are many, many examples where we're an early adopter and then where our demand for a product helps to jumpstart the market for that technology. When it comes to energy efficiency for buildings, that's a huge area. Buildings account for 70% of all electricity usage. If you could reduce the energy consumption of buildings in this country, it would be equivalent to taking most commercial vehicles off the highways. I mean, they are an enormous contributor to energy consumption. And so we are not going to solve our energy problem without improving building energy efficiency significantly. The energy efficiency of buildings has not gone up significantly in the last 30 years. And the reason for that is a variety of impediments to commercialization of new technology. That's part of the problem. The building industry is very fragmented. There are split incentives, meaning the landlord has a different incentive than the tenant. An early adopter of new technology bears significant upfront costs with no additional return. So there's an important role for the federal government to play as an early adopter. And I made that within the energy area at DOD, I made that my highest priority. DOD is a technology agency with a very deep test and evaluation culture. And we had a wonderful test bed program still do there, which I made a very high priority. GSA has a wonderful test bed program called the Green Proving Ground, using our buildings as a beta site for testing new technology. It has not been quite as risk-taking as the DOD program and as I would like to see it be, but we're moving in that direction. I want us to be helping to overcome barriers to commercialization. I think that's the appropriate role for the federal government to play here, is to identify what the barriers are and what are the technologies where, by demonstrating the technology, we can help overcome one of the barriers to commercialization. So we began the Green Proving Ground in FY11, or GSA did. We've got a bunch of technologies underway. I can talk about them if we have time. But I think that's an incredibly exciting area. Now, other things that we're doing, more fundamental things, when we build something new, it has to be LEED Gold or the equivalent and compliant with Energy Star. The same is true for when we do major renovations. We have advanced meters in most of our high energy consuming buildings. We meter 90% of our electricity consumption. So we have advanced meters in 450 buildings that account for close to 90% of our energy consumption. That allows us to track what how these buildings are performing in real time and to measure our progress. We have met the statutory and OMB benchmark for reducing energy intensity by 3% a year. We are a year ahead of schedule. We have reduced our energy intensity relative to a 2003 baseline by fully 24%. So we are a year ahead of schedule. Not many agencies have met that goal. We are meeting that one and a variety of other energy goals.
You know, PBS has been publicly very focused on sustainability in their buildings. I'm kind of curious, because you did mention about getting commercial vehicles and airplanes off the street, out of the air, from a supply chain perspective. So does PBS support modernizing and greening the supply chain?
Yes, we very much so. We're working with other federal agencies as part of the, I believe it's called the Green Gov supply chain. This is a voluntary organization between federal suppliers and federal agencies to identify greenhouse gas emissions that the suppliers generate and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So that's one voluntary effort underway. As part of our contracts and our RFPs for everything from cleaning products to furniture in our buildings, we make sustainability and as measured in a variety of ways having to do with energy consumption, water consumption, chemicals, bad chemicals. We make that part of it. So we build that into the acquisition process. It becomes very much part of the acquisition process for. And this is an area that the U.S. Green Building Council is putting more and more effort into keeping harmful chemicals out of our buildings, and so that's a growing focus for us as well.
And Dorothy, I want to go back to the area around innovative office solutions and what PBS is doing in that area. We talk about mobility, government mobility, that workers are collaborating more. How is the workplace changing to fit the new trend?
There's a variety of different ways to approach it, and there's some beautiful commercial furniture solutions out there. It's, you know, tailored to individual agencies, and it involves a rebalancing of personal space and an amenity space. So typically what it means is less personal space but more amenity space, conference space, and other kinds of space. Workers, I find, because I don't have an office, I just have a workstation, I need quiet places to go. I do have a beautiful conference room, and there are a number of quiet spaces where people can go, and that's very critical. So having a mix of types of space with the appropriate furniture and IT solutions. And that takes some upfront spending. You can't typically just move the furniture around. You actually have to reconfigure the space to accommodate that. But we're doing that at our headquarters at 1800 F. We had the luxury of being able to invest about $100 million in that. But among other things, it's resulted in a space that is much more sustainable and energy efficient, and that will accommodate twice as many people. So we're going from 2,200 to more than 4,000 people in that space.
Very innovative. So, Dorothy, as we close this segment, I wanted to understand, are there any plans to construct new buildings or complete modernizations over the next few years?
Oh, yes. But I would say the emphasis is very much on modernization as opposed to new construction. We are doing relatively little out-and-out new construction and by and large, renovating what we have.
What does the future hold for GSA's Public Buildings Service? We will ask Dorothy Robine, its commissioner, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.